Radio.
It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're gonna sell it, we're gonna tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, it's time for Swap Shop. How you doing? I hope you had a good day. Had some great information from Fred Malone about things that went on in the White House, and I really enjoy learning a lot of this stuff. This stuff I take home and I give lessons to my sister-in-law and my daughter and my wife. After I hear all this stuff from Fred, he gives me a lot of good thoughts that I never knew. And we learned a lot. Somebody had an alligator in the White House. That's kind of crazy. Wouldn't have been me. I'm not even good with having a mouse. I have a puppy dog, and that's what I'll stick with. I don't mind cats. I like cats, but that's the extent. And we do apparently have a pet skunk in the neighborhood. At least he keeps showing up in front of me. I hadn't sprayed anything or anybody or any dog yet, but he shows up. And we may have coming soon some bees. We put up a little nest for, I can't remember the name of the bees. They're a very non-aggressive bee that do a lot of pollination, and that's why we put the nest up, because we're trying to get a lot of pollination from our garden. And I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place with my garden, because as many of you know, I'm going to be leaving here for about 3 weeks, starting a week from Monday, and so you won't be hearing me for those 3 weeks, but I'm not quite sure whether to start my seedlings or not. I could go buy myself a light timer so I could have my lights on down in my basement at the appropriate hours, but then how do they get watered? I don't know. I've got lots of questions I've got to do. But anyway, you're listening to Swap Shop. And as you know, many of you who are regular listeners know that we don't do a whole lot during the winter on Swap Shop. We have an occasional call, but we don't do a whole lot. We do get a lot of mail-ins. And if you're interested in mailing an item to us, you can mail in something you're looking for, something you would like to sell, or even if you have an event you'd like to tell us about, you can mail it to WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio 43302. That's WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio 43302, and we'll put it on just like this one message I have right now that I'll read to you. And if you are interested, by the way, in calling in any items, the number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, this item was dropped off here, and it says neighborhood supper, free drive-through dinner, Tuesday, March 22nd. It'll go on from 4:30 to 6 p.m. It'll be at St. Paul's Lutheran Church on 135 West Main Street down in Waldo. The menu includes ham and bean soup. Ooh, I love ham and bean soup. What's it? I might have to make it to that. ham and bean soup, cornbread muffin. Oh, I love cornbread muffin. Oh, this is a menu made just for me. Ham and bean soup, cornbread muffin, coleslaw, and Oreo pudding. Now, you can't beat that. That's just too good. And that's, they ask that you pull up to the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to your car. And it's open to everyone. Everyone's welcome. And that's at on the 22nd, Tuesday the 22nd, from 4:30 to 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo, Ohio. So thank you very much. We didn't get, that's the only thing that we just got mailed in. So this week we're a little skimpy on our stuff to do. Hey, if you have an item that you'd like to sell, we take virtually anything that doesn't require registration of sorts. We don't take houses. We don't take cars. We don't take property. We don't take guns. We don't take boats, because they all require some sort of registration, and we just can't get involved in that. But if you have something else you'd like to sell, if you, like Scott said this morning, or Fred might have said it, if you have a tchotchke that you'd like to sell, give us a call. And we'll be more, I had to, in case you heard me go away there. Twice you heard me go away. I had to sneeze. Anyway, if you have something you'd like to sell, call me at 740-383-9944. You're listening to Swap Shop here on WWGH, Marion, Ohio's radio station, 107.1 FM. I was talking about, and we will give that number more times. I was talking earlier, before Fred showed up, I was talking about March Madness. And I have been very fortunate in my life to have spent 18 years in intercollegiate athletics. And most of those years, I had some sort of trip or something I had to do for March Madness. Now, it might have been March Madness itself. I had teams that went to March Madness. I had teams that went to the NIT. I hosted events like the NIT and March Madness in my arenas. So I've had a lot of experience with it. It's been a while. It's been a long while. But I still have friends that are in the business, and I'm told that things are still pretty much the same thing. One of the things, I remember we hosted a what we called turnip. We were turnip, yes. We were tournament town down in Athens when I was at OU. And the reason why we called ourselves Tournament Town was because we hosted the women's NCAA and the men's NIT event during 1 week. And for just for giggles, I decided I'd keep the number of hours posted on how many hours I had worked that week, just because I knew I was going to work a lot of hours. 108 hours I worked that week. We'd get to the convocation center at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd be there till midnight, and then run home, and or even later, quite often later. Some of the jobs that people have to do around that, and I have great friends. As a matter of fact, I got a message from one of my former students who is working this week at, I think, Dayton, working on the stat crew. And he thanked me on Facebook for demanding that he learn how to work the stat program and that they apparently are still using. I'm sure they've streamlined it and made it more easy to use. But when we were doing it, it took, I think I had probably six people on my stat crew inputting it into a computer. One person would input it into the computer, but I had that many people that were keeping track of things. A lot of people don't realize this. When you're keeping track of basketball statistics, you have to have somebody that's watching for assists. You have to have somebody watching for rebounds, both offensive and defensive. You have to have somebody keeping track of shots made, shots missed, free throws made, free throws missed. What else? Turnovers. There are a myriad of things that you have to keep track of. And so, therefore, I'd have probably around six of my students would be doing that, one of which was inputting it into the computer. And he had to be really good. A great guy. He's a professor down at Wright State. But he might be the head of the athletic department, or he's very high up in the athletic department. Steve Rader, great, great gentleman, did a wonderful job for me. He also helped me put together. That's another thing you have to do. When you're involved in an event like that, your team, and I'm sure it's gone mainly online now, but I think there are still a lot of teams that make what they call media guides. And like my football media guide would be 120 pages long, and we had to input all that information. My basketball media guide would be probably 100 pages long, and all that had to be put in, and it had to be stored for next year in your computer. When I first started, there were no computers, and it had to be stored in your brain, and what you did is you pulled up last year's media guide, and you just upgraded it, and you just kept, and that's kind of what they do now, except for the sports information directors, as they call them. Many of them are assistant athletic directors or associate athletic directors in charge of sports information. But what they do now is they input it into a computer, and the computer remembers all that stuff, and then they can just upgrade it that way. But it's something that a lot of people, it must have been wonderful to be able to travel with the team. Well, what you don't know is if you're traveling with the team, after you leave the game site, the sports information director has on the bus at about midnight has to input all the stuff so that he can send it, or she can send it, to the UPI, what used to be the AP, any large newspapers in your area, any television stations in your area, and send all these statistics that have been updated, which will take you a couple hours on the bus going home. And you really, back when I was doing it, you really couldn't send it from the bus because you didn't have a signal to the bus. Now I imagine you can send it directly from the bus while you're going there. But we'd have to wait until we got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, sit down, and send all that stuff to all those people. When I really started that business, I was one of the very few sports information directors that decided I was going to go more electronic. I bought a huge computer that really did me very little good. It was a TRS-80, if you remember them from Radio Shack. It didn't do me a whole lot of good, but it did me some good. But I also bought a fax machine. Now, back then, the way a fax machine would work is you'd put whatever you wanted to send to somebody. You could usually send a limited number of sheets. I really can't remember. Even early, you might only be able to send one sheet. But what it did is it would send a picture of that sheet of paper with the stats on it to a receiving fax machine, which would burn it into thermal paper at the other end, and it smelled to high heaven. And that's how we did stuff. Prior to that, I bought a fax machine the very first year. I also bought a computer in the second year. So I wanted to get out from under doing that stuff. But my friends still were doing it all by, they'd call you up and tell you all those numbers that you had to write, jot down, and then put it into your own. Because the coaches wanted to know what the other teams were doing, and if you didn't have that information, you got yelled at. So anyway, nowadays, during the Final Four, I will guarantee you that there are people at the sites that are back in the media room sending information via their little tiny laptops, which used to be done by thermal papered faxes and giant computers and little handheld calculators. So it's kind of fun. It was kind of fun. It was kind of a mess and also kind of frantic, but it was great fun. It made you feel like you were doing something, and I did enjoy doing it. I miss it. I left it way back in the 90s. 96, I think, was the last time I was in that business. You kind of miss it. Now, I've gone back a couple of times to what they call the Sports COSIDA Convention, which is College Sports Information Directors of America Convention. And they usually hold it. It used to be that they would only hold it in towns that did not allow gambling. Well, that's changed since gambling is everywhere now. And so they go all over the place. But matter of fact, I used to be on the committee that helped select that town. And we went to, let's see, Nashville 1 year when I was on that committee. Louisville 1 year when I was on that committee. Chicago 1 year. So we went all over the place where they didn't have gambling, because we were trying to stay away from the bugaboo of sports and gambling. Hey, you're listening to Swap Shop, and I understand. This is still the winter. We don't have a lot. Now, today would be a fantastic day to have a garage sale, but you didn't know that at the beginning of the week. If you do have something you're trying to sell, you know, you're trying to get rid of those snow skis that you're not going to be using anymore, knock on wood. Or you're trying to get rid of that bicycle that's just falling apart in your garage. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or you can mail it to us at WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And we'll be glad to hear from you if you want to give us a call and tell us something you want to sell, or even something you want to find. Now, I've had people call me up and say, hey, I've been looking for a blankety blank, and I haven't been able to find one, and we've helped them find stuff like that. So hey, you're more than welcome to do that. Or if you have an event that's going on that you want to tell us about, either mail it to us or give us a call, and I'll be glad to put it on the air. I heard earlier this morning, gentleman called in to Scott to tell him that his grandson was doing well. Ron called in. Ron had called my show last week to ask for prayers for his grandson, who was struggling with some sort of ailment. And today, his grandson's out of the hospital and doing better. That's just wonderful, and I'm very happy for you, Ron. We all need a little good luck in our life, and people giving prayers can't hurt, right? And apparently it helped, so I'm happy for you. Again, we have a neighborhood supper going on. It's free. It's a drive-through dinner. Now, is it supper or is it dinner? Tuesday, March 22nd. At between 4:30 and 6 p.m. down at St. Paul's Lutheran Church at 135 West Main Street in Waldo, Ohio. The menu is ham and bean soup, one of my favorites. Cornbread, which you'd have to have if you're going to have ham and bean soup. Cornbread muffin, coleslaw, and Oreo pudding. What a night that'll be. They ask you to pull up in front of the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to your car. And you know what? It's open to everyone. Everyone is welcome down there at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waldo, Ohio. I went to a Lutheran college, as a matter of fact. Congratulations, Lutherans. Okay, my dad was a Methodist minister, so I had to keep that down low. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about what happens during March Madness or before March Madness. March Madness, I remember one time we were playing out in the East Coast. We were in the first round of the NCAA, and Greg Gumbel was the announcer for the broadcast, and Greg and I were old friends. I didn't think he'd remember me because I hadn't seen him in probably 10 years at that point. And so all of a sudden I hear somebody scream across the court. This was well before the game started, like a couple hours before. They weren't even warming up yet. Somebody screamed across the court, "Hey, Coble!" And it was Greg. And he did remember me. We had a nice reunion. But that same day, we were going to play Indiana University down at this site. And Indiana was pretty good, and we knew we were a big underdog, and we played well. I think we lost by 8 or 10 points, so we didn't play well enough to win, of course. But afterwards, after the game is over, this is just something that a lot of you don't know. You may see it on TV. They usually bring the coach and a player or two to a room, a media room, so that all the media people can take pictures and get quotes and that sort of thing. And they brought us to a room just off the court. I brought my coach and I brought my players, and we did our thing. Usually the losing team goes first, and we did. And then Indiana's coach at the time was Bobby Knight. And it was right at the end of his tenure there. And I was not a big fan of Bobby Knight. I'll tell you another story about Bobby Knight after I'm done with this one. Which will explain probably why I was not enamored with Mr. Knight. As we were leaving, he came into the room, and he was just hobbled. He was struggling from some sort of malady to his legs or his back or something, which he lived with most of his life. And he needed help, so I helped him up onto the stage, got him a chair, got him seated and comfortable, and he actually thanked me, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But he thanked me very sincerely, which did kind of surprise me, and I'll tell you the reason why. I think 2 years before that, we went and played at Indiana University, and I went down onto the court. What they usually do is the home team decides when you can play on, use their court to practice before the game, and Indiana was practicing, and we were supposed to use the court right after Indiana left the court. Well, the time was set up, and Kit Klingelhofer, I believe was his last name, Kip. Kip was the assistant athletic director in charge of sports information, and I walked out onto the court. And quite often, coaches are very concerned about people seeing what's going on their practice courts. But their team had left, and all there was about 16 young men. They were managers. We had three managers at the time, but they had 16 young men pulling up tape off the court floor. And, you know, it didn't mean anything to me, and I yelled across to Kip. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Oh, you got to get out of here." "Well, why? There's nobody in here." "You got to get out of here. Bobby wouldn't like it if you were in here." So we walked out in the hallway, and he told me that Bobby would tear me a new one if he ever saw me in there before they got all the tape up off the floor. Well, I found that quite obnoxious. But I did stay out until they got all the tape up, and then we got our team out on the floor, and I think we lost to Indiana, which was kind of standard. Back then, most teams lost to Indiana. Indiana was a pretty good team then. But anyway, so I've had my ups and my downs with Bobby, but that's just part of what happens during this fantastic month of March, where you get to meet all these fantastic people. Like I was mentioning earlier, Dick Enberg, Billy Packer, and Al McGuire were the announcers for my game when I was first involved back when I went to the Final Four with our team. And those guys became friends and stayed friends to this day. Oh, hey, wait a minute. We got a phone call. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn, I got a question.
Sure.
You said you were the assistant athletic director.
Yes.
Did you ever, I'm not going to mention your team,
okay,
but did you ever know another team that was doing violations?
Yes.
And just never said anything?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Okay, I was just kind of curious.
I
said I didn't want to know about DePaul because I was a DePaul fan.
We were
growing
not
up.
Yeah, we did not. Ray Meyer was very strict about that. We
I believe that.
Our
along with
P's
the coach
and our Q's, yeah. And,
well, how do you?
I remember one time, and I won't tell the team's name, but they were a huge basketball powerhouse at the time. We were at their at their facility because of our team, our football team was playing their football team, and so I just asked if I could wander around the facilities, and I was given permission, and I went down, and there is their team practicing basketball in September, well ahead of when they were supposed to be.
I gotcha.
With an assistant coach. And right. I was told when I left, I said, "Hey, that's illegal." "No, it's not illegal. It was our assistant coach." Well, that was wrong. They were they were pulling my leg. He was unpaid assistant, but he was
so he was just we're just messing around what they were saying.
Yeah, they were just goofing around. Yeah.
Now, but as an assistant athletic director, was it your job to report that, or that was none of your business?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, that's also an interesting story. There at the time.
Well, let me get off the air and I'll listen to you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
I will finish this story. All right.
I appreciate it. I want to hear it.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right. He asked if I what was supposed to be done about reporting incidents like that. When I was in, it was standard policy that if you saw an infraction, you were required to go to your supervisor and tell your supervisor what the infraction was. I went every year if I saw something, and I would tell it to my athletic director. And when I was at DePaul, I didn't really see very much, so I didn't have to really tell Father Bob any stories about what was going on at DePaul. But when I got to OU, there were a few little things. They weren't huge, but I would report them, and my athletic director would kind of, you know, give me the eye and say, "Thank you very much." And that was the last I heard of it. So I don't know what was done. I know that we fired an awful lot of football coaches, but it had nothing to do with violations. It had to do with incompetency. But that's kind of an interesting story, too. A lot of people wonder about when I was at OU. I think we fired five, maybe six coaches in my 12 years. Oh, we might have fired 7 or 8 coaches in my 12 years down there, football coaches. And that's a terrible situation. Maybe I'll get into that a little bit too. But none of them were fired because of infractions. We weren't good enough to cheat. We were pretty bad. We were thrilled because so many people came to our football games. Now, that was part of my job too, is to get people to come to the football games. But what ended up happening is we would fill the place, 17,000 I think it was at the time. We'd fill the place, and at halftime after the band was done, it was about half full. So anyway, let me tell you a little also about what goes on. Hey, by the way, if you're listening and you want to sell something, we'd be more than happy to hear from you. The phone number is 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944, or you can mail it in to us, like the group down at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waldo sent us a notification that they're having a neighborhood supper. It's free drive-through dinner on Tuesday, March 22nd from 4:30 to 6 p.m. That's down at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waldo. And the menu is ham and bean soup, cornbread muffins, coleslaw, and Oreo pudding. And they do ask that you pull up in front of the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered. And it's open to anyone. Anyway, what was I going to tell you? I knew I shouldn't have done that because I naturally would forget what I was going to tell you about. Well, anyway, there are a lot of infractions that go on, and I'm sure they still go on in athletics. One of the big topics that always pops up is, should we pay the athletes? There's good reason on both sides of that coin. First of all, most of the athletes receive what they call a Pell Grant, which is basically free money. It is cash that they can use to pay for their expenses in school. If they're a football or basketball athlete, quite often everything is paid for. Their room, board, and food is paid for. So the Pell Grant kind of fills in the rest. So my personal opinion is they're getting a free education, they're getting free food, they're getting free room, they're getting free, basically they're living for nothing. And I personally think that we should not pay them, because my feeling is that if we start paying the kids, and I'll guarantee you there are kids that are being paid to play. I can't honestly tell you exactly who's doing it, but you can guess. I really feel that all that will happen if we say, okay, we'll pay each kid $250 a month while he's in school, 9 months, next year it'll either go up, or the schools that have been paying $250 will find a way to slide another $250 under the table. There will become a bidding war on those kids, and that's not something I really want to see. Most of the kids that I know showed up at the two different universities that I worked at thinking they were going to go pro. Less than 1% of them did go pro. So they really need to stay there and get educated, as far as I'm concerned. And any athletic administrator who is not stressing the fact that they should get their education is cheating them. But also, I understand where people say, you know, they're raising a lot of money for these universities. Shouldn't they be paid? Well, when I got into the business, I think there were only two universities that were making money on athletics. All athletics. Michigan was one of them, and I believe Texas was the other one. Notre Dame joined the ranks of that pretty quickly, and now there are several others, but not all schools. Matter of fact, not most schools are making money. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, I was wanting to talk to you about the pay of these athletes.
Yeah.
You know, the way they have it set up now, they're allowed to make money on their likeness.
On their what?
On their likeness.
With pictures?
Well, the way it is now, if you're the quarterback or a big star on the team,
yeah,
you can make money off your, you know.
Well,
you can endorse things and stuff like that.
I'm not sure that's true. You might be able to as a senior because you're never going to, because you can declare yourself a professional that year. But I don't believe as a sophomore or a junior you can.
Well, they've changed the law now.
Now, if they have, it's been since I was in it, so I really don't know the answer to that.
You know, to where these athletes can make money. But the only thing is, it's the star athletes that are going to be making the money.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the center, the tackle, you know, those guys, you don't get much do.
All they get is a punch in the nose when the ball snapped, yeah. You're right.
And so, I think there could be a better way of where everybody makes money.
Well, and believe it or not, and I keep in touch with several of my athletic friends. Not many schools make money at athletics. They have to pay for all the what they call non-revenue sports. They have to pay for housing. They have to pay for clothing, uniforms, also equipment, facilities. You know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, but these colleges, they have every sport under the book.
Well, they've cut a lot back. When I was in athletics, there were schools that had 38 different sports, but most of them have cut back into the low 20s.
Yeah, you know, I just think there's way too many. You know, it's like Ohio State, you have a, I don't know if they still do, but they have a rowing team.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Marietta has a great rowing team. So, you know, there's room for them, but somebody's got to pay for that.
Right, you know, I just don't really consider that a sport that, you know, needs to be in a college level or, you know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure by a lot of alumni who maybe were rowers and they want to keep that going. Now, my son ran track for OU on a scholarship, my eldest son, and they've done away with men's track now, I believe. So, you know.
Well, that don't sound right.
No, it doesn't. But they were trying to save money someplace else. And so I know they've done away with several of the scholarships. And that's, you know, how they do it now. I'm glad I'm not in the business anymore.
Yeah, I was listening to you yesterday, and I wanted to thank you.
For what?
When you hung up on that lady.
Well, she was just carrying on the same thing over and over again.
Oh, yeah, and she was bringing up Hunter Biden. And
yeah, any time people talk about Hillary Clinton and her conspiracy right now, I'm pretty much sure it's, you know.
Well, she's also talking about the website she was going.
Yeah.
That's where you want to get your news?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
please don't get your news from websites. That's, you know, listen to legitimate television, radio, pick up a legitimate newspaper. And that's what you should do. And when I say legitimate, ones that have been around for years and years and years.
Right.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons. One thing that always irked me with Trump is the way he treated the press.
Me too, yeah. I'm a big press fan. I think without the press,
we have no democracy without the press.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you need it.
I mean, that's the way I feel.
Me too.
You know, Trump would rather the press be like the press over in Russia.
Yeah, It sounded like it. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's... Okay, well, I just wanted to touch on that.
Okay, I appreciate it, and I wish I had a good answer for you on what do you do about paying kids. And there are kids that need some money. They really are.
But I think it should be all equal. It's not, not the big quarterback of the people have the positions, you know, that are making...
Now, I believe the Pell Grant is established based on need. So that's not a bad way of doing it. If a kid goes and he's got full ride on everything, but he can't afford to go out and have a pop with his friends or can't afford to go get a sandwich, I can see why you'd give him a little extra money. But that's done through a Pell Grant, and people look and see whether he is in need or not, so or she's in need. So. They have Pell Grants for men and women. But anyway, I appreciate your call.
Yep.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. It's a great discussion. I know it's not a swap shop discussion, but we're not doing any swapping right now. And I do like talking about it, and I'm not... I'm not up on all the new rules, and the caller may be right. They may actually have a way. But when I was in intercollegiate athletics, I had to go to a whatever that sporting goods shoe store is where they wear uniforms like referees. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, they had a backboard as part of their part of their decoration of their store down in Athens, and they were always asking my basketball players to sign their backboard, which sounds like nothing. I looked into it, and they could have all lost their scholarships because at that time that was considered an endorsement, and endorsements were absolutely verboten unless you were a graduating senior. If you were graduating and had no more eligibility, you could do something like that. I don't know. That rule may have changed. I don't like the idea of paying kids for doing ads for stuff. I just don't like it. If the rule applies to the quarterback, it should, as the caller said, it should apply to the guard, the pulling guard, or or the linebacker. I was a linebacker. We didn't get anything. So there are some pretty famous linebackers, but I was not one of them, by the way. I could have only gotten famous if one of the splinters off the bench that I was sitting on had done something fantastic. Anyway. Excuse me, I had to cough there. You're listening to Swap Shop, and I'm going to read this event that we have that somebody had posted to us. There's a neighborhood supper, or they call it a free drive-through dinner, Tuesday, March 22nd, from 4:30 to 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo at 135 West Main Street in Waldo. The menu includes ham and bean soup, cornbread muffin, coleslaw, and Oreo pudding. That's a hard word for me to say. They ask that you pull up in front of the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to you. And it's open to everyone. I can even go. I love corn, ham and bean soup. Might be something I try to sneak away from my house and get, and not tell my wife I'm getting myself second dinner or something. Anyway, hey, thanks to Fred Malone for being on this morning. We're going to have him back next month. Really interesting stuff about the White House. We've got about 3.5 minutes left to go, and I want to thank. I appreciate the fact that we got a phone call from Ron last week. His little grand boy was struggling, really struggling, and asked for prayers and thoughts, and apparently it worked because he called this morning to Scott's show and told him that his little grandson is doing better, and that's a great thing to hear. You know, I had a lot of people telling me through the years, oh, you must have had it. It must have been so wonderful to be in intercollegiate athletics. And I have a lot of great memories. Memories of great people, names you would know, memories of great games. We had a kid that led the nation, Dave Jamerson, led the nation in three-point shots. And one day, when he got that, he made a shot from about 40 feet out. And he turned around to the crowd when it went through and kind of shrugged and looked at everybody. I can't miss. And our coach was angry because he thought he was showing off, and he was kind of showing off, and yanked him from the game with 8 minutes to go. If he had left him in and he had had a few more of those three-point shots, he'd still hold that record. Dave Jamerson, good guy. Really liked him. He was a wonderful shooter. Played in the pros for, I think, 3 or 4 years. He had bad knees. He struggled with his knees. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope that I gave you some interesting stuff to listen to. I kept it unpolitical, I think, or basically unpolitical. We had a couple little political sidebars, but hang on just a second. I've got a cough again. Okay, I'm back. I will be here next week at the same time, but next week in the morning 2 hours, we're going to have James Anderson, which is not his normal day. He usually is the last Thursday of the month, but since I'm going on vacation, he's going to come in next week, and we're going to talk about all the critters around my house, all the critters around your house, and all the flora and fauna we can think of, and we will have an absolutely wonderful day. Let's hope the weather continues this nice. Right now, I think I looked it up, and it was 60. What is it? Hang on. Give me 10 seconds here. Not even 10 seconds. It's 67 degrees. A beautiful day outside. Get outside and absorb some of that vitamin C and have a wonderful day. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Glenn Coble, and I'm out of here.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.